9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Here's your money briefing for Sunday, April 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
One of the most expensive purchases you'll ever make is buying a home. It's also one of the biggest debts you'll take on. For 27-year-old Metzli Sanchez, the day she closed on her house topped her graduation as the best day of her life.
The feeling was just so incredibly life-changing and overwhelming in all the best of ways. I was so excited and happy and just ready to get the day over so I can get my keys and just go into my new house.
But having the shiny title of being a homeowner doesn't come easy. And as a first-time homebuyer, Metzli had to ask herself some big questions, not just ones about how many beds and baths she wanted.
The questions that really froze me was, when you go into anything, my biggest question is, you can afford something today. Can you afford it tomorrow?
It's more than just finding a home in your budget and getting all that paperwork to the finish line. Owning a home means being able to sustain it, not just now, but 5, 10, 20 years from now. It means being able to plan for various expenses and renovations, maintaining everything that's actually in your home. With prices still high and mortgage rates hovering near 7%, buying a home and affording to stay in a home requires careful financial planning and even preparing to pay unexpected costs.
Oh my God, like the hit the ceiling 2 weeks in.
This is the first installment of our new series, Buying a Home and Keeping It. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll explore what you should know to not just achieve homeownership, but also to sustain it. We'll go over the big expenses home buyers should expect, from closing costs to annual maintenance. And just in case something hits the fan, we spoke to WSJ reporters as well as home renovation and inspection professionals about ways to manage the cost. In this episode, we'll discuss what you need to know to get the best deal on your home. We'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Veronica Dagger and Lynette Calfani-Cox, CEO of The Money Coach, a financial education company. That's after the break.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.
Figuring out whether or not you can afford a home sounds pretty straightforward. But there's a lot that goes into it. Aside from looking at the big numbers, like the actual list price of the home, homeowners should also consider what the housing market looks like. So let's bring in Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger. Veronica, we hear that the housing market is loosening up a bit compared to a year ago, but are potential buyers still facing challenges when they shop for a house?
For sure. It is still expensive, and home prices are going up in the vast majority of markets in the U.S. There is not a ton of inventory. There's not a ton of homes to choose from. The upside is that there is more homes to choose from, more inventory than there was a year ago. So that's exciting for some buyers to see more listings out there on the market, more places for them to tour. That said, you're still facing some bidding wars on some of those most desirable locations. And so it's tough. Competition is intense, especially when it comes to starter homes, because there's so few of desirable starter homes on the market, and there's a lot of people who want those properties.
The inventory is a little better than last year, but not great. And if buyers do end up finding the home they want, in comes another frustration: mortgage rates, which have been hovering around 7%.
We're in a tricky time right now with rates because people initially thought interest rates were going to at least be set up to be cut in the spring and maybe the summer, but a lot of people are now thinking this may not happen until later in the year because the economy is so strong. The Fed is saying, oh, I don't know if this is the right time to be cutting rates. We may eventually see those lower mortgage rates later in this year or early next year. But the thing is, you're most likely never going to see those 3% mortgage rates that many of us admired during the pandemic. Those days are probably over for quite a while.
And this is one of the big obstacles for homebuyers. Affording a home in the long run means making those mortgage payments every month. So how can you make sure you're getting the best deal from the start? Well, Veronica says that it pays to run the numbers.
Many homebuyers don't even bother negotiating their mortgage rate. They think the first offer they get, or it's often the only offer that they look at, is the offer, and that's what they have to accept. And that's not true. If you shop around, you can save tens of thousands of dollars. And that's very important. Lenders, especially right now, they are parched. They want some business. They might be willing to work with you and waive certain fees.
But how do you know when you've got the best type of mortgage? Lynette Calfani Cox is a former financial news journalist, and she's the founder and CEO of The Money Coach, a financial education company. She says that getting the right mortgage is more complicated now than it used to be.
There are, frankly, a lot of different products that people can get when it comes to a home loan. So, you know, gone are the days when it was just about, you know, a plain vanilla 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Certainly there are mortgages that are 15 years in terms. There are some mortgages that'll let you pick your term, 7 years, 12 years, 18, 22 years, whatever it is, that kind of thing. And then, of course, there are all different flavors of adjustable rate mortgages or ARMs. So the question about what is the right or the best loan product is often tied to the person's unique circumstances in terms of how long they plan to live in the house, in terms of their future or anticipated finances.
The National Association of Realtors says a home buyer planning to sell the property, pay off the mortgage, or refinance in a few years might consider an adjustable rate mortgage, whereas a fixed rate plan, like the traditional 30-year mortgage, might be better if a buyer intends to own the property long term. But there is one thing home buyers should focus on way before setting out to find the best mortgage.
You want to get your credit in tip-top shape. One of the key barometers that lenders will be looking at, one of the key factors is, how good is your credit? Your FICO score or your Vantage score is going to range from 300 to 850 points. Anything from 760 to 850 puts you in that ideal, perfect credit scoring range. So you do want to make sure your credit is in excellent shape.
Then when it's time to secure a mortgage, Lynette says seeing the bigger picture is key.
One of the biggest mistakes that people make in selecting a mortgage is just going by the interest rate alone and just thinking that from a cost standpoint, it's all about the interest rate. Really, it's the cost of credit over time that you should be looking at, as well as all of the factors that go into making a home either a more costly proposition for you or perhaps a less costly proposition. So, for instance, not only should you be looking at the interest rate, you should be looking at the closing costs.
Closing costs. We hear the term a lot in the final stages of purchasing a home, but they can look different for each home buyer. And to really get a clear financial picture of what you're signing up for when you're putting that pen to paper on your home, experts say the closing costs and fees are important to keep your eye on. And it's unlikely you'll be hit with surprise fees in the closing process. Lynette Calfani Cox says the law is on your side.
Federal law actually gives you the right to see all of the fees that you're going to be charged and what's going to be at the closing table 48 hours in advance.
One law known as RESPA requires that a good faith estimate be provided for borrowers explaining rates, fees, any prepayment penalties, and the possibility of later increases in monthly payments.
So you can certainly ask your lender for that statement to give you time to review in advance so you're not under pressure right there at the closing table and feeling that you have to sign just to get the deal closed on time. There are a laundry list of fees that people should be prepared to pay. You might have points to pay on a loan, and a point is simply 1% of the loan amount. So if the loan is, say, $300,000 and the lender is charging you 1 point, that's going to be $3,000 right there. You may also have something called an underwriting fee to pay, which is very common. Lenders charge their own set of fees. They may have documentation fees to actually handle the paperwork and the processing of the loan. There are appraisal fees to be paid as well. The bigger the property, usually the bigger the fee. There are legal fees to be paid. There may be an attorney involved, and his or her fee has to be paid. You'll typically have to pay a percentage of the taxes and or insurance on the property as well. If you're buying into a community that has a homeowners association, there are typically HOA fees to be paid up front as well. There are a lot of different fees that you'll have to pay up front, which is why I tell people that you should anticipate that your closing costs on a mortgage will be roughly around 3% or so of that mortgage loan. Let's say the loan is even just a modest $300,000. That's $9,000 right there in closing costs.
Like she said, a laundry list of fees. But Veronica says that doesn't leave the home buyer out of options.
You can negotiate with your lender to see if they will waive some of those costs that are built into those closing costs, like the origination fees or the underwriting or the loan application fees. All those things could be up for grabs and could go away. So either waiving some of the closing costs entirely or at least very much reducing those costs, and that can save you in the long run. You can also ask your seller to chip in to cover some of those closing costs. That can be trickier when we're in a market like we are, where sellers still have the advantage largely, but it is a strategy that some people that might work for a home that's less desirable and not many people are super interested in.
Between a deal on a mortgage and keeping track of closing costs, understanding what those numbers might look like in the future is a big challenge. Lynette compares it to what it's like when you buy another familiar purchase.
Generally speaking, people who are surprised about the cost of a home, they have that same dilemma that people get when they buy a car. So you go to the car dealer and the dealer says, what kind of payment can you afford? Oh, if you can afford $400 a month, great, you can afford this car. Well, not so fast, because with that car, auto insurance, there's gas, there's repairs, there's maintenance, there's a whole set of ongoing costs, and ditto for home ownership. It's not just about principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. It's about all of the ongoing costs to keep a house humming and in tip-top shape. So you have to think about it. Am I going to want to change my furniture once every 3 or 5 years? What about the appliances in my home? Those are ongoing expenses. And the typical borrower who's getting a mortgage doesn't take those into account, but they absolutely should.
So once you've closed on a home, in comes the next wave of expenses, making it your own. And that often means renovations, repairs, and the unexpected. Remember Metzli Sanchez, the 27-year-old from Texas, who talked about the, you know what, hitting the ceiling in her new home?
I bought the house by myself. I was 25 years old, and I've never lived in a house. I had no clue what the unexpected things. I had no clue what I was doing.
The problems began 2 weeks after she moved in, starting in her garage.
I had had the sewage line repaired, which was $6,000. I had to just drop like that. My HVAC almost killed me because of the carbon monoxide. Something wasn't working. I didn't have water for 3 weeks. I had to deal with termites. That happened around 6 months in. I had to deal with the insulation. It was really humid in the house, so that was another $3,000 I have to spend. So I was prepared for these things. But I'm just thankful that at least the financial part, I had my bases were covered. But it happened almost immediately. I knew these things were coming, but it was almost back to back to back, and that was stressful.
But Metzli says what really helped her afford her home and all of the unexpected expenses that come with it came from the tiny financial wins that she made in the years before buying it.
I drove my beat up old car as long as she could last me. I'm not really a materialistic person. I don't eat out a lot. That's how I was able to really bounce back and recover financially pretty quickly.
So plan for the future, but remember, there will always be hurdles.
I knew what I was getting myself into, but it doesn't make that any easier. But even when all said and done, I don't regret anything.
Next Sunday, we'll get into what home buyers looking to renovate should know, including those with a full-on fixer-upper on their hands. And that's it for your Money Briefing. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Sound designed by Jessica Fenton. Jessica and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Jonathan Sanders is our booking producer. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is The Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.